Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the second Monday of each month, we have Empowering Women, sponsored by Reidenauer, Heighton & Lewis. And in studio, of course, we have Carol Spivey, Executive Director from Reidenauer, Heighton & Lewis. Carol, it's so nice to see you again.
Hi, Dave. It's really good to be here again.
It's great. Of course, you were on, I think, several times over the last probably 8 months to a year.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. And, of course, it's such a great... So what you do is to, you know, sponsoring, empowering women. That's what the world needs. There's so many unrecognized, amazing women out there making amazing differences, and it's so nice that you have this segment to honor these women, and you have, and you've really blessed them too.
Well, and we find that we work with so many exceptional women in our practice that we're very lucky to have this vehicle to bring them on and honor them.
Which is so nice because, you know, it's nice to be recognized. That's one aspect. But the other part is really to give people awareness so they have role models, especially young women. Mm-hmm. and as well as men, too, because the talents out there are phenomenal. And it's nice to model how they do it so people can bring it to their own businesses, to their own organizations, to their own families and friends, and make a huge difference in the world.
Right.
That's what I really, really enjoy. And of course, in studio, you have your guest for Empowering Women, the CEO and president of the Center for Habilitation, Vicki Kringen. Welcome, Vicki.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's so nice that you're here. And of course, you were named the 2011 Business Women of the Year. Does that fit Empowering Women or what?
I think so.
So that's incredible. Was that the Tempe Chamber?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It was quite an honor.
You know, they're a great organization. I've done in the past some stuff with the Tempe Chamber, and it's a really nice chamber, a chamber that is really together, I think, organizationally, as well as heart and soul.
Yes, and one of the committees that they have that actually sponsors this particular award and recognition is the Women in Business. And really, that Women in Business Council, its goal is actually to bring women together and be able to empower and mentor them as they work through their career. I've been asked, along with some past recipients of the Business Woman of the Year Award, to participate in a mentoring program that begins in December, and I'm real excited to have that start and really be able to work with some women and help them with achieve their career goals.
That's awesome, which is, I'm sure, really appreciated by the women you work with. Now, is it the center or the centers of habilitation?
It's the centers, because we are a statewide organization, so centers is plural. We have about 40 different locations throughout the state of Arizona, and one in Niland, California. So the centers is a little more descriptive.
Wow, California.
Yeah.
Where is that? What city?
It's Niland, California. We actually do a federal contract on the Navy SEAL training base there.
Wow.
And I don't even have the right clearance to get on that base, so I just wave as we drive by.
Where is Niland?
It's north of El Centro. It's on the Salton Sea in South Central California.
Yeah, neat.
No man's land.
Yeah, that's right. I think I passed that on the way to, San Diego? Or
Yes. You probably saw the exit sign off the freeway.
I was waving, too. They didn't allow me there either. What can you do? But so let's talk a little bit about how you got the name, and then we'll go into your background.
Sure.
But the Centers for Habilitation, everyone probably wants to say rehabilitation, but it's not. It's
habilitation.
Habilitation, yes.
Yeah. Habilitation is really the core of what we do and what we've done for the past 40 years. And rehabilitation really means taking you back to where you were. For instance, if you broke your leg and now you have to be rehabbed so you can walk properly again, With habilitation, the individuals that we work with, it's really not taking them back to where they were because they were born manifested their disability when they were quite young. So we're trying to take them forward. It's a progression of being able to impact their quality of life, teach them life skills, and make the future brighter for them.
Which is so nice. So who came up with this name? Or I guess when it started, right?
Yeah, well, I think actually when we started back in 1967, we were called the the Tempe Center for the Handicapped. And so, you know, as time has gone on, the vernacular has changed and what's politically correct has changed. And so back in the early 90s, we changed it as also we grew into other areas of Arizona. We changed TCH to mean the Centers for Habilitation. And habilitation actually has been a word that's been around forever. It's one of those very, very old words. But we're probably one of the few who use it in our name, although when we contract with the state of Arizona for the services that we do, it is integral into our service specifications.
It's very descriptive, though. I think it makes a lot of sense, and I like the name that, you know, from, you said the Tempe of for the handicapped.
Yeah, it was the Tempe Centers for the Handicapped, yes.
I sort of like it better as you describe this because it doesn't put limits on it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that is very cool. Now, Carol, how did you find these marvelous people in this organization?
Well, earlier this year, our law firm formed a charitable foundation, and as part of that, we were looking for a flagship entity that we could support and that we really believed in. And we had some common individuals between us. One of our attorneys knew someone on the board of TCH, and through conversation and through an on-site visit and meetings, it was determined that this clearly was the kind of organization we meant to support with our foundation. It's a non-denominational, it's apolitical, it is truly just about helping others. And so we have people in our organization from Jeff Burnick, who's actually on the board, to individuals who have attended events, to individuals who have helped with events. So we really have across the board contributions by our individuals, not just monetary, but volunteerism.
Which is really cool. Now, you said the law firm, so right now Hyten & Lewis has its own foundation.
Correct, right.
Wow. So describe how that works a little bit.
Well, the foundation, we do, in the past many years, the firm has been very involved in the community and is very charitable in its giving. And this year, we decided that we really wanted to be able to make an impact in one or two different charities as opposed to spreading it across many charities where maybe our impact isn't felt as much. So as a result, this is how we determined it would work, and we actually have a board that determines where the charitable funds will go. And we're very high on supporting education, we're very high on supporting TCH, and those are the kinds of things that we look to.
Wow. Now, how did you feel, Vicki, when they really picked you guys?
Oh, thrilled beyond belief. Their support and the firm in general is a great firm, but their support by their charitable foundation just takes it another step for us. And it's really very, very critical. These times, as for any nonprofit organization, it's been difficult from a budgetary standpoint. We've faced rate cuts from the state of Arizona. We've had to do a number of things in order to continue our operations that were difficult decisions to make. So when we can look outside of our boundaries to organizations like Ridenour and Hyten, that their support is very, very critical to us. And again, it's not only the monetary support, but it is the support, the volunteers, the attendance to our events, and the actual awareness of what we do and who we are. Because when that happens, it extends beyond just the two organizations. And so that's very, very critical for us.
And the beneficiaries is really the people that you're helping.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And why don't we describe that before we get into how you got in your position? For the listeners, what specifically does TCH do?
We provide a wide array of services for people who have a disability. And the disability can range from a developmental disability, which is like cerebral palsy, autism, seizure disorders, Down syndrome, and physical disabilities. And we do it, we support individuals in a number of different ways. The first and most basic is through their residential setting, whether it's support in their own home or in home with their families or in a group home setting. We serve about 250 individuals every year in their own homes or in our own group homes that we manage and operate. We also have day programs, and those day programs are operated. They're actually activities that individuals can do during the day. They're group activities. In those particular settings, individuals may work on their particular plan as far as the kinds of activities that will help them move forward. They socialize. They have fun. They maybe do an outing to the mall. They maybe have a great time doing music. There's just a number of different activities that they undertake. And then the other significant part of what we do is we develop and create jobs for people with disabilities. And that's how we get such exposure out in the community. We have a very large employment services program, and we have supported that program by developing what we call social enterprises, businesses that we own that employ, train and employ people with disabilities.
So you mean that the TCH owns businesses? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Or members of the...
No, we actually own businesses. We kind of manifest it three different ways. Number one, we own businesses. Actually, the major business that we own is called Assured Security Document Destruction, and it is a secured document destruction business that actually goes out to different organizations, businesses, collects their confidential papers, takes them back to our facility, which Carol knows is pretty significantly
large.
Yes. And sorts it down, shreds the paper, and then resells the paper back to the paper mills.
So now, is this a for-profit company?
No, it's not a for-profit. It's still a nonprofit. And the reason it remains a nonprofit, because our mission is still to provide support and jobs for people with disabilities. We have 89 individuals with a disability who work in that environment.
Wow.
And they do a number of different things, from sorting paper by paper grade to operating the shredder and the baler, forklifts, or being ride-alongs on the trucks that go throughout the community.
That is so cool. Now, what's the name of it again?
It's called Assured Security Document Destruction.
Assured Security Document Destruction.
Yeah, we changed that mouthful of words. So we just called ASDD now. It's a whole lot easier.
Yeah, ASDD. I like that. And can anyone be a client?
Oh, absolutely. We'd love anyone and everyone. We have a sales force that are out there working with the community, with the businesses. We do statewide services. We actually are in Yuma. We are in Kingman and Bullhead City. We go up to the Mogollon Rim, Flagstaff, and we have customers all over the state of Arizona, including the state of Arizona.
And then the end result is recycled paper, is that what
you
said?
Yes, it is. The paper then gets shredded, baled, and sold back to the paper mills. They take that paper, they process it, turn it into recycled paper products.
So you're a green company, too. That's a better benefit. That's amazing. Wow. So let's. I'm not going to wait to give out the contact information. Do you know the number if people wanted to be a client of this that is so so much helping your organization, helping people that need help, and also supporting the environment?
Yes, yes. Well, you can call our main number, 480-838-8111, and ask for ASDD sales. And they'll transfer you through to our crack sales force. Our sales manager is Dale Cassell, and he will definitely work with you to design a program that's great for your particular business.
One of the things that I really admired when we went to do a tour of their site was the level of security that they have. They actually are work
yes.
with the IRS and other?
Yes, the IRS was actually our first. Yeah, thank you. The IRS was actually our first customer. And we are certified by a national organization called NAID, National Association for Information Destruction. And in order to be certified and do the work that we do, we have to go through quite an extensive clearing process. For instance, everyone at TCH, including the individuals with a disability, have to pass an FBI background check in order to work in the facility. And so that assures all of our customers that their documents remain secure.
That's amazing. And any document, you could just
yes.
give it over and
from your tax returns and bank statements to the old letters from your old boyfriends or girlfriends. We'll take them.
I'd like to keep some of those just to see how I've progressed or not. But wow, that is fascinating. And is there a cost? Well, I guess obviously a cost associated
yeah,
with this.
And again, it depends on the level of service that a customer might require as to what the costs might be, and also the amount of paper that you have to process. So there's a lot of different factors that come into exactly what the cost is, but I can tell you we are very price competitive.
You know, Carol, it would make sense to me is if you had a choice to go to a company, and that's big these days, you know, shredding mm-hmm. documents, and in fact a bunch of laws regarding that too these days. It would make sense, why not go to it's ASDD. Because it's helping so many people too. It's
absolutely.
Not just. It's not. I mean, you can't get better than that. And plus, it's a green movement.
Mm-hmm. We'd actually like to hire you to get that message out to
everyone.
I will.
Before you leave, give me some cards or something.
Yes, I will.
Because I think this is really fascinating. And you said there was two others. I think two others, as you call it, social enterprises.
Yes.
And why don't we take a quick break right now? And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. With, of course, we have Carol Spivey, Executive Director from Ragnarok, Hyten, and Lewis here with Empowering Women. And, of course, we have Vicki, and let's see if I can say it right, Kringen.
Excellent, excellent.
From TCH, and we'll be right back.
Ragnarok, Hyten, and Lewis is a multi-practice law firm. Ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten, and Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Empowering Women, sponsored by Ridenour, Hyten, and Lewis. And we're honored to have Carol Spivey, Executive Director from Ridenour, Hyten, and Lewis, and in-studio guest from TCH, the Centers for Habilitation, Vicki Kringen. And, wow, I'm getting really good at this.
That is good.
I'm impressing myself. Not really. But anyway, I should. That's actually pretty easy, isn't it? I've had some other names that it's like, wow. You know,
after you get it right the first four or five times, that it kind of rolls off the tongue.
it really does. And anyway, we're talking about some of the amazing things you're doing to raise money to, and as important or more important, to have some of the people part of TCH working, putting them to work in a stable environment. And that's going to be important. Now, off there, you were talking about how you came up with this idea, because in the past you said you had some contracts, and sometimes once they're, if they're not renewed or whatever, there's a lapse, then you got a bunch of people sitting around not working.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to make it difficult.
Yes, it was. It was very difficult, even heartbreaking, as you saw the work environment for the individuals we serve is really very critical for them. It really speaks to the quality of life for them. All of us sometimes define ourselves by the jobs we have, and people with disabilities are no different. Their job provides them with activity all day long, with socialization with their peers, and then a paycheck at the end of a couple of weeks that they can use to help supplement, maybe buy a new CD or take a friend out for lunch. It's no different than it is for any one of us. Our jobs are important to us. The friends that we have at work are important to us, and our paycheck is important to us.
You know, I would think also it hits their self-worth. Everyone wants to feel productive and useful and making a difference. Comment on that.
Yes, absolutely. I can tell you a story, if I may.
Oh, absolutely.
About a young man who actually moved from the work center into community, what we call community employment. But he worked very, very hard to excel in the work center and prepare himself for a job in the community. And he's been employed by Walmart now for over 10 years. He celebrated his 10th year anniversary this June or July. He is so proud of the job that he does. He is he has cerebral palsy. He's confined to a wheelchair. But he has done several different jobs at Walmart, from undercover security to the go-back clerk. In other words, he takes all the go-backs, merchandise that go back into stock from the checkout counters. But I can tell you, when he got that job, he was Joe Cool. He was so proud of that job, and he still is today. He has one day off a week, which is Monday. It was today. Is today Monday? No, today's...
Yes.
Yes, okay. It was today. I actually talked to him today, but this job just means everything to him, and how it impacts his self-work is just amazing.
You know, it is interesting that some people... you know, you see a lot of the world complain, you know, about either their current job or whatever. And then some people just so much appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the difference is? I mean, who wants to comment on that? Because it's always amazing to me to see this. It's like, why don't more people appreciate what they can do and how it connects with other people to make a difference? And what do you notice about that?
Well, you know, I get to see that every day. You know, when we look at people who really value their jobs, and they really work hard to get and to keep that job, and I just think it's a mindset. It's a determination. Not long ago, somebody asked me what inspires me, and people inspire me, but particularly people with disabilities. And working with people with disabilities is really quite quite humbling, because, you know, I'll get up in the morning and I'll complain because I'm tired and, oh gosh, I really have to be at this meeting or that meeting. And then I think about all of those people that are in my life that TCH serves. And each morning they get up and they persevere. They get up and they persevere through a significant disability. They persevere through so much, and they appreciate what they do have and are able to achieve. And that really inspires me to have a different outlook on life.
So what I'm hearing you say also is maybe people with disabilities don't take things for granted either.
Yeah, I think that's true. They don't take things for granted, and they also have to work harder for what they gain.
Let me ask you this, and Carol, let's ask you, and then we'll ask Vicki. How do you think the world would be different if people appreciated their jobs, not take things for granted, and really knew they were making a difference in the world? How do you think it would change the world?
Well, I actually obviously think it would be wonderful. I know one of the things that I've experienced through our relationship with TCH is sort of the making a difference feeling and sort of feeling more, satisfied with my work, just because I know, even though for the majority of the time I'm doing more corporate type things, when I am involved in something such as TCH, I do feel like I'm giving back, and that's rewarding to me. So I'm sure most people would feel, if you feel every day like you're really accomplishing something, that would definitely give you a totally different sense of your work.
Is that what you noticed too, Vicki?
Yeah, and I think Carol just captured what really is so important for so many of us who actually work our staff at TCH. In a nonprofit, the wages aren't high, the perks aren't there, but every day we all do the same thing. We all have all those, you know, the paperwork and the telephone calls and all of those kinds of things. But I only need to look out my window or walk down the hallway and get a hug from someone, and they tell me how great they think I am, or they want to show me something that they're doing. And all of those things melt away, and I know why I'm here and what I'm doing. For me, when I walked in the door at TCH 17 years ago, it felt like I'd come home. And I think that's really very important for, people who work at TCH, people who volunteer, people who support TCH, and other nonprofits around the state.
Well, let's go, before we go to the other two social enterprises, talk about the 17 years ago. You said, well, I guess you've been at TCH for 17 years.
Yeah.
So what happened? Was there an aha moment you had 17 years ago plus?
Yes, there was. And I hope, I always hope for everyone that everyone actually does get the chance to go through the aha moment and recognize it and learn from it. I did, and I'm very appreciative of that. I was working at another organization, and it wasn't the best environment for me. And I struggled because I'd always thought I was superwoman, that I could do everything. And anything that anyone put in front of me as far as a challenge, I could accomplish if I just worked hard enough at it. And I was working at this organization with that particular mindset and wasn't being successful, and ended up leaving the organization and was quite emotional about leaving. And it took me a couple of months and some help to kind of take a step back and look at who am I, what can I do, and what talents do I have. And I realized, no, I can't do everything, that I need help, that I can never do everything alone, that it has to be a team for me, and I have certain skills in which I excel, and if I'm going to be successful, I have to work with other people who complement those skills. And that was my real aha moment. And when I walked in the door of TCH, they were looking for a VP of finance or something like that back at that point in time. I walked in the door. I met with Dave Cuddy, who is the past CEO, president and CEO of TCH. And it was just felt to me like a perfect fit. Now, it hasn't all been roses over the last 17 years. There's been lots of struggles and whatever. But because it is a good fit, and because of who we serve and what we do, and because I've been able to recognize that I can't do this alone, it has to be a team effort. And I have to value the team and their skill sets. it's been pretty successful for us.
And that makes sense. I mean, team efforts are important in nonprofit, for-profit, and look at sports and athletics.
Yes.
We have the two teams. I mean, all our teams are good, but there's two in particular that have that concept. Of course, Arizona Diamondbacks this year under Kirk Gibson, phenomenal what they did as a team effort. That mm-hmm. And they were, Kirk always said, you know, these guys are talented, but they have to learn how to win from a mindset. And, of course, the Phoenix Coyotes, who I love, big Coyote fan, big hockey fan, Coach Dave Tippett, Coach of the Year 2 years ago. Again, no superstars on the team, but knows how to unify a team. And they've been incredibly successful. It shows there's no I in team, and it also shows superstars alone will not win it. But if you have a group of cohesive people on the same page, it can make a huge difference. The Phoenix Coyotes, another example of great team effort. So, and of course, I would say your law firm, too. I mean, well coordinated as a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really has a great team effort within the environment. And I'm going to give credit to you because you are the executive director.
Well, thank you, Dave. Yes, it is. It's a great team. And you have a lot of stars there, but they do play as a team.
There's no question about it. It's so refreshing. I mean, to me, it's so refreshing. I deal a lot, you know, with as a CPA with attorneys, and it's such a noticeable difference dealing with Ridenour, Height, and Lewis. I mean, it's like day and night.
Mm-hmm.
It's that good. And I'm sure your organization too, TCH, as you're describing it, it sounds like it's a major difference as well from some of the other people that also have great intentions to help disabled, you know, individuals. So let's go back a little bit. Before we go back to the social services, how is, you know, the 17 years, that shows something. I mean, that's quite a while to stay. What are some of your greatest memories that have occurred in 17 years in terms of maybe heartfelt experiences or other events that may have happened, success stories perhaps, and any changes may have occurred along the way?
Well, it's been quite a diverse journey. There's been a lot of different things. We've persevered through some incredible challenges. And again, when I was talking about budget cuts and the economy, we're doing the same right now. So that's kind of an ever reoccurring story. But I really do think that the mindset that we have adopted at TCH, and that is that we will succeed no matter how difficult it is. We're not going away. We're going to be there for the people that we serve and support. And we've kind of paid it forward over the years by thinking into the future, not just what's the impact today, what's the impact of what we're doing moving into the future. And obviously for me, with my business background, the development of federal contracts and social enterprises that not only bring different sources of revenue to the organization, but actually go miles beyond meeting our mission have been some of the most important things for me. The story I told about the young man working for Walmart is one of my special times. I can tell you so many heartwarming stories about the people that we serve and the people that we work with. I actually could fill a book on those, and I won't violate any confidences on some humorous stories, but they make you laugh, they make you cry, they make you frustrated, and they make you extremely happy. We just had a special event called the Monster Mash about almost a month ago. Very successful event for us, our second annual Monster Mash, which is just a blowout Halloween party. That's what it is. We have a haunt, we have a band, we have silent auction items. People come dressed in the greatest costumes you could ever see. Well, this year, as did last year, one of our board members, at the end of the night, probably the last hour or so of the party, gets up on stage and just belts out songs. And he's great. He does a great job. Well, this year we had the pleasure of having one of our residents from our group homes who is nonverbal but loves every opportunity to perform. And he got up on stage and performed with the board member. It was incredible. It was an incredible experience for all of us. It just added another element to the party. And as I talked to the board member the next day when we were tearing down the event, he said, what was his name? He just melted my heart. He said he had so much fun, and he came up to me afterwards and gave me a great big hug. How can you ever replace that?
See, those are just memories that will live forever. And it's also, I suspect, it's not just the people that have disabilities, but their families.
Yes.
You touch their families too, I suspect.
Yes, we do. And one of the great things about TCH is we have a great deal of family participation. About a year and a half ago, some family members got together and formed what we call the Family Leadership Council at TCH. That has been an incredible group that has been extremely effective in reaching out to families, providing support to families, providing feedback to TCH on the services that we do so we can improve the quality of what we do. And they've done advocacy. They've just done a great deal of work. They're out there in the community talking about people with disabilities and TCH. So, that's been a very successful venture.
That is awesome. I mean, it's nothing like touching a lot of people, just sort of like the gift that keeps giving. And you never know where it really ends up because you inspire someone, they inspire someone, and it just has a domino effect. And why don't we take a quick break now? And you're listening to Empowering Women, sponsored by Reignauer, Heitman, and Lewis. We have Carol Spivey, Executive Director from Reignauer, Heitman, and Lewis, in studio. And Vicki Cregan, I did say it again.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm surprising myself that I'm getting the hang of this. CEO and President of TCH, which is the Centers for Habilitation, and we'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Empowering Women, sponsored by Reignauer, Heitman, & Lewis. We have Carol Spivey, Executive Director, in studio, along with special guest and 2011 Business Women of the Year from the Tempe Chamber. That's an honor. And, of course, Vicki Cregan from the Centers for Habilitation, the CEO and President. That sounds like a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it, right? I can't even imagine. CEO and president. That's that's quite a bit, huh?
Yeah, it is. But, again, I can't say enough how it's a great organization, and I'm very honored to be able to fulfill that role.
That is quite a role. Now, we were talking about the social enterprises, and one was ASDD that does security document destruction, which sounds like a really good thing. It's a funding source. It keeps people busy at work, some people mm-hmm. that have disabilities. You said there was two other social enterprises. Can you describe those also?
Yeah. One of them that we've been, about 3 years ago, we worked with the Mark Center of Mesa. And between the two of us, we formed a separate LLC, nonprofit LLC, to come together to do food service for Banner Health Corporate Center in Mesa. It's the old Mesa Lutheran Hospital. They closed it down, Banner closed it down, and then turned it into a corporate center, remodeled into a corporate center. And late in the process, they decided they really needed to reopen that hospital kitchen to provide breakfasts and lunches and such to their 1,200 employees that they have on site. Well, it was a perfect fit for us. For one thing, TCH has provided the food service at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base for over 18 years. We feed the troops at the Desert Inn Dining Hall and the Roadrunner Flight Kitchen. So food service is our middle name. We provide jobs for about 80 individuals at that location. So we kind of took that model, worked with the Mark Center, and created the cafeteria, which we call the Blue Ribbon Bistro, and the Java Junction, which is a coffee shop, used to be the old gift shop, but it's a coffee shop, put a business model in place, overlaid the program services. We now employ about between 35 and 40 people at that site. About 30 of those individuals are people with either a developmental disability or a behavioral health. And we serve generally about 600 diners each day between breakfast and lunch and our coffee shop. And so it's been a very successful venture for us. And I cannot tell you the kind of support that we've gotten from Banner to make this a reality for us. So it really is, even though TCH and Mark Center are partners in the separate LLC, Banner really is the third part of that partnership that has made it successful for us.
Wow, that's remarkable. That's a lot of 600 employees a day or
yes.
servings. That's got to be jumping.
Yeah, you come at lunchtime and it's standing room only.
Is that right?
Yeah, so you got to come. You have to come early in order to get a table. But we also do catering, so we cater out the back door. That didn't sound so good, but yeah.
But I'll be standing by the back door.
Yeah, standing by the back door. But yes, we also do community catering. The other thing that we do is between TCH and Mark Center, we operate 40 group homes in the East Valley. Those group homes house anywhere between 3 and 6 individuals with a disability. So the Blue Ribbon Bistro provides their evening meal also.
Wow.
So there are a lot of different ways that we can utilize that food service to meet our goals and objectives.
Is the catering through Blue Ribbon Bistro? Is that where if someone wanted to use it as a catering service, they
yeah.
would contact?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, and I don't have the telephone number of that, but you can call 480-838-8111 and ask for Vicki, and we'll get you information on the catering that goes on. We do some excellent things. For instance, we catered the Monster Mash. Mm-hmm. We're also catering the holiday meal for Banner employees on December 8th. 1,200 employees coming through, and
wow.
I think it's an hour and a half to pick up their holiday meal. We've done a number of caterings for other organizations, the Disability Empowerment Center, just a lot of different areas that we've done.
Wow, that's fantastic. So you got two right here, you talked about the security document destruction and this catering that anyone can participate in.
Yes, yes.
Is there a certain geographical location restriction of how far you'll cater?
Yeah, it's sort of East Valley right now is our primary target, simply because we're in a growth mode right now. So,
Gotcha. That is fantastic. So, again, it helps fund, that right, the nonprofit,
yes.
TCH, helps, of course, people that really need help. And this is a real, I haven't heard of a business model like this before. This is very unique.
Yeah, and it actually, as you look nationwide, and even within the state of Arizona, there are a lot of organizations who are really taking this particular model seriously. As you look at the challenges that you face from funding, public funding is never going to cover the cost of the services we do. It hasn't for years, and now with the budget cuts and the changes on the federal and state level, I just don't anticipate that it ever will. So from philanthropy and contributions to business development that brings new revenue streams in for us, we have to work on those. We have to develop those methods to be able to support the services that we do.
So it's really like an internal funding source.
Yes, it is.
Which is really creative, I think. And again... It's multi-purposeful because it supplies jobs for some of the people that are disabled.
And that's the prime. When we look at a business opportunity, if it doesn't create jobs for people with disabilities, no matter how lucrative it might be, we walk away.
You're creating jobs and Washington isn't. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's my political commentary for today. I don't know why. This is amazing. That means, as you're describing this, I was going to ask what your role is as president and CEO, and it's like, wow, this is getting more and more. This is a lot of things you do. Why don't you describe that? Because we still have a third social enterprise,
yes,
right, we want to talk about. But why don't you describe your role? What is it like to be CEO? What are some of the things you do? How many people you manage? And what's your main responsibility?
Cheerleader,
yes. Which is very critical up top. You got to be, you got to, right, inspire, motivate,
yes,
uplift.
Yeah.
That's such a critical part,
absolutely.
Right, Carol?
Yeah.
I mean, you say it too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because all the other stuff is standard, and Carol knows that too. The things that everyone has to do every day, and that's, watch the budgets, be aware of any issues, set out the strategic direction, work with the board of directors and the key staff to set out the strategic direction of the organization and follow through and make sure that we're, if we're told to point, go west, we need to be going west. But the other piece that I think is really important is to set an example for staff, to let staff know how important they are to the organization, to give them everything and all the tools that we can in order to do their job and do it well and be rewarded for it. So I think as I look forward into the future, I think that's probably beyond the regular stuff that you do. That's probably the most important thing that I can do.
Wow. So this, well, let me ask you this. How many employees do you have?
We have about 600 to 650 employees.
A lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people. A lot of great people. A lot of great people.
And
I don't know all their names.
No?
No.
But that's okay. That's a lot of people. 650 people. That's got to be so rewarding. And you got to have amazing talent. Now I know why you're Woman of the Year.
Thank you.
To be able to, that's pretty big. That's really big. And you have to have a multitude of skills. And I suspect one of your great skill sets among many is what you said, a cheerleader, but really beyond, how to inspire, motivate, really give encouragement, and that's really critical in any organization.
It is. It's not unique to TCH by any means, but it really is important because it is your workforce, is those who come to work every day and do the job of caring for individuals with disabilities or paying the bills or filing the medical records or whatever their job is, they really are the ones that make it work. And so it's my job to support them and make it happen.
Does your organization attract a certain type of employee that has a heart and soul for
compassion? Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're like any other large organization or any other organization or businesses. Oftentimes people come through the doors that are just looking for a job. But those who stay, those who really excel, are those who do have the heart and soul for it. And it's pretty interesting. They may not walk through the door with that heart and soul. They may not know that they have it, but they get hooked. And that's when we know, when we see that glint in their eyes and that light in their heart, that they've been hooked and they now find this is an avocation rather than just a job.
And that's, again, a credit to you, because that's part of great leadership, to build a culture which transcends into the environment of this sort of as a company, a living, breathing, compassionate type of living entity, I'd call it. And it's hard not to be part of that if you're working there.
Right.
Because you'll stand out if you're not.
Yeah.
Very quickly, right. I suspect.
Yes.
That is phenomenal. Now, let's go. I think we have probably about 6-7 minutes left, roughly. The third social enterprise that you have to help fund a business that TCH owns.
It is contracting with the federal government. We, as I mentioned before, we do the food service at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. We also do base-wide custodial out at Luke Air Force Base. And we do base-wide custodial and grounds maintenance at the Yuma Marine Corps Air Station. That also includes Nylon, California. We do custodial and grounds at that military location. We are starting a project at Fort Huachuca with another partner, Beacon Group, out of Tucson, probably February or March. These are, there's a number of other smaller contracts that we have, but these are, again, very, very critical to us. We started contracting with the federal government in the early 90s, and these contracts are very critical, again, to us in, number one, providing jobs and job opportunities for people with disabilities. 80% of the work that's done in any one of these contracts is done by someone who has a disability. So that is a critical piece of what we do. And also, any of the margins that we might be able to garner from these activities go to help support the rest of the organization.
Which is fantastic. I mean, if you look at it, especially where the economy is, and there may be, not great news in the coming years, it appears, but you're not asking for money, you're working for money.
Yeah.
And that makes a huge competitive a difference, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, again, it's an issue of trying to control our own destiny. And, you know, we're facing, for instance, one of the contracts we're in negotiation with now, obviously with the federal government, the super committee is cutting back and the military is cutting back. So we're facing cutbacks in those programs too. But they really still are core to our employment services, even with that.
Now, what does the future look like? Are there other things in the works that you can share, or maybe not? But are you going to expand the internal funding sources by having more businesses always looking for opportunities?
Yes, we are. One of the things that we are working on right now to establish and expand is in-home care for the elderly. We do in-home services for about 160 individuals. And so the requirements we have to do that in-home care is actually greater than the requirements for in-home elderly care. So we feel that we are really very well qualified and have a very talented and trained workforce to be able to come in to your relatives or family members' home and give the kind of care that's necessary to keep them in their own home. The other piece that we do is An offshoot of many of our custodial services is carpet cleaning. We invested in the equipment to be able to do commercial and residential carpet cleaning. So that's another piece that we're, it's just brand new, but that's an opportunity for us, again, to employ people, employ and train people with disabilities, and bring a new revenue stream into TCH. So that's kind of our focus right now.
That is so interesting. How did you pick carpet cleaning? I mean, do you investigate potential businesses that seem to fit in nicely, or how did you even come up with that?
Our contract out at Luke Air Force Base requires us to do carpet cleaning on base. And for the last 10 years, we've contracted that out to a subcontractor to the tune of anywhere from $125,000 to $175,000 a year. We stopped and said, excuse me, what are we doing here? We should be doing that ourselves and creating jobs for people with disabilities. So we invested in the equipment. Our foundation, actually, the Cuddy Legacy Foundation, funded us for that enterprise. We're doing the carpet cleaning services, carpet and tile cleaning services out at Luke Air Force Base. And we're able to take the excess time that we have and commit that to do commercial and residential carpet cleaning in the community.
Wow, that's fantastic. You got a good business mind too.
Yeah, we don't leave any stone unturned.
No, this is great, and especially so rewarding to form businesses for the benefit of people that need help. You can't get better than that.
No.
And
thank
I like
you.
What you said. I think we have a couple minutes left, 3 minutes left. But you want to create your own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the model right now for everyone in the world, because that gives you empowerment, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It gives you sustainability.
Yeah.
And that's the important piece.
It really is. And I think that's a great lesson people can also learn from you. And maybe there's another business of giving trainings on how to switch your mindset to the general public from limited thinking to unlimited thinking, because that's what your organization seems to be, that you can create what you want when you want it with enough great planning and the belief that it can be done.
Yes, yes.
That is
you.
A fantastic organization, I got to tell
is.
You.
It is. It's an amazing.
What a model. Wow. Mm-hmm. So, well, I'll tell you, let's give out some contact information again, because I'm sure you take contributions, I suspect.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
So how do they go about, and volunteers, I suspect.
Yes,
so
yes.
Tell us in the next minute or so then how people can participate.
Well, the most important thing to do is remember our phone number, 480-838-8111. You can ask for Vicki, you can ask for Justin, or you can ask for Dawn. And Dawn is our development director, and Justin is my right hand. So if you can't get a hold of me, you'll be talking to Justin or Dawn. And they will direct you and help you if you want to buy a service or product from TCH, if you want to volunteer, if you want to contribute, if you want to become a part of our special events. And I got to get a plug in here. TCH is doing a classic car show on February 11th, 2012 at TCH. And we're going to make it a blowout party for the community. So we want to invite everyone from the community to come and join us. And we're going to have some great classic and custom cars on display at that event.
And P.F. Chang's Rock and Roll Marathon.
That's
January
right.
15th. What's your website? We only have about 40 seconds left.
It is www.tch-az.com.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Vicki Cregan from the Centers for Habilitation. Fantastic stuff. Carol Spivey, always a pleasure seeing you. Ridenour, Height & Loose. This is great.
This was great. Yeah,
incredible.
It's a great organization.
No question. And we'll see everyone a month from now for more Empowering Women. And this is something to take notice, because there are people, despite the economy, making great differences in many different ways. And there's nothing like looking out from what you can do for you for what you can do for others. That makes all the difference, that change of attitude. Stay tuned for Understanding Autism, starting right at 3. We'll be right back.
found Arizona station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.